Here's something that is disturbing, and you may have heard about it on the news. I just want to look at it in more detail. These Momo challenges. Wayne Denner from waynedenner.com is available to have a conversation with us. Wayne, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
Wayne, this is very worrying. The PSNI, they have their fears and their concerns about what's known as a suicide game, and youngsters are at least looking at it, if not taking part in it. Just give us the whole story, the whole background, because a lot of people may be hearing about it for the first time, Wayne.
Yeah, Frank. Interesting enough, I had a number of parents reach out to me over the weekend through social media and also through WhatsApp with concerns relating to what we're discussing this morning, to the Momo challenge, which is doing the rounds at the moment. Something that started in Mexico actually in August 2016, but is now being shared worldwide. And a couple of years ago, just to give a little bit of context, we did have the Blue Whale Challenge, which was a similar type of challenge which originated out of Russia, which had links to a game alleging sort of suicide challenges and those types of things. Now, that did turn out to be a hoax and something which was doing the rounds on social media very, very early on the Momo challenge to know a little bit more about the sort of the type of individuals who are getting involved in it. But it's found across many social media platforms, all the major social media platforms, but also right down to gaming platforms as well, which many parents might not be familiar with, such as Grand Theft Auto, Minecraft. Some of the popular YouTubers are also creating videos relating to this as well. So as you mentioned, it's a game or a challenge. Well, basically, you're challenged to complete a number of tasks by distributing an avatar called a Momo. So it starts off with simple challenges where you've been asked to like something, watch a video, a horror film, play music loudly, and then it progresses on to self-harm or other aspects relating to suicide.
So you're given a whole series of dares, so to speak.
That's exactly what it is. So it starts off with a sort of a simple dare or a simple challenge or a simple task for you to complete. And you receive this through, you know, a message, through social media. And then once you complete that task, you document it and you show that you've completed that task. And then you receive other tasks from other users as well. And you share the avatar, you're showing them that you've completed that particular task.
And I presume the people behind it are in some way abusing the system. It's not being driven by a legitimate organization.
It's not, no, but it could be user-generated as well in the sense that, you know, there are other users who are driving this challenge. So it's more likely to be, you know, collectively users worldwide independently driving a challenge like this. And that's typically how we see these things on social media and on gaming platforms. We'll see a lot of it where it's not actually the platform. It's user-generated. And we've seen things like this in the past where, you know, we've talked about that 10-year photo challenge, for example. That wasn't actually connected to a social media platform. That was user-driven, and that was driven by users themselves uploading those particular pictures. So a challenge like this will be user-generated. But there's also other things for people to be thinking about as well, that it's also linked to when you will have cyber criminal activity playing in here, where Momo is also linked to the theft of personal data and harassment, extortion, anxiety, and depression. So it is important for people to, you know, to think about those other things that it could be potentially linked to, where if you get involved with this challenge, you click on a link and you share something which could be harvesting your personal information.
So there are two strands to it. One, people could be taking advantage of you being online with them and, as you say, harvesting the information and taking some form of online advantage. But there's also the twisting of your mind and putting the challenge up to you to do something that in the normal run of things you wouldn't do. Now, some of the earlier challenges are going to be, you know, dares that you might do in the playground, but once you get to the point of self-harming or cutting yourself, or I presume there are other ones that you'd be challenged to visit hurt upon someone or some person and show that you can do this.
Yeah, I mean, you could see how it could be, you know, related back to cyberbullying, abuse online, you know, you could see harassment. You can see those types of behaviours actually filtering into it. And I think that's where people have to really look at the bigger picture and the wider implication of this as well. Not to lessen the aspect of suicide and self-harm, but look at how really this could be used to manipulate an individual and how it could be used against somebody. So I think, you know, those concerns from parents and the PSNI and organisations are very, very worrying and are very, very important. And I think, though, it is really, really important that we don't use something like this as scaremongering and that we get the right information out to people. And that's really, really important. I have seen this shared hundreds of, if not thousands of times across social media over the past couple of days. I haven't did a blog post on it yet because I wanted to make sure that all the facts were in place and that we could give some really, really useful guidance to parents. And I think that's what's really, really important, because we had that blue whale challenge, which turned out to be a hoax. And again, that was shared extensively through social media. And that also fuels the awareness of this type of challenge as well. So I think from a parental point of view, it's important for parents to look out for secretive behaviour, to be vigilant, to keep themselves aware. Have a good parental control in place in your home, on your Wi-Fi and on your, you know, your smartphone devices. There are lots of great parental controls in the marketplace. Monitor what your children are doing online and be, you know, parenting is really, really important in the digital age. Tell your children not to give out personal information. And if they receive this challenge, make sure that your children come forward and talk to you about this so you can have a discussion.
Yes, finding the Momo challenge on their software doesn't automatically mean that they're in some group and beyond redemption.
No, not at all, because you will see people sharing this through social media as well. I mean, you've seen it on your social media, I'm sure, yourself. I mean, it's popped up on your news feed. You might have received it in other social media platforms. So again, you know, but being aware, and that's why it's very, very important for parents to be vigilant and be aware of these things fundamentally, but also, you know, to be careful from the fact of, you know, how this information is actually pushed out through relevant media sources as well, that we don't use it to scaremonger, but we do use it to heighten our awareness on this particular issue. We sit down with our children and young people and we have a conversation, and as parents we make sure that we are parenting the correct way and we're using our parental controls and we're, you know, encouraging our children and young people to use social media and the internet positively and responsibly, and also that we remind them that if something happens in that online world, they can come to mom and dad and they can have a conversation. It doesn't matter what it is.
Wayne, thank you very much indeed. Wayne Denner from waynedenner.com, a good site to go to if you want more guidance for best use of the internet when you're around children. Right, it's 16 minutes past 11. Good morning to you. What's on your mind this fine sunny day in February? Oh, the shortened winter. But can we be guaranteed that when we get into March, it is going to continue to be fine? Absolutely not. Good morning, Frank. On the back of the conversation earlier about mobile numbers for family and friends that have passed away, my wife and I are recording a video to send to each other. So in the event of either of us passing, in brackets, not imminent, by the way, at the moment, that we have a happy, love-filled memory to bring comfort to each other. So that's from John. John, good morning. Good morning to you. It's a lovely idea. Lovely idea to keep forever. Just a little keepsake that says it all. Stuart's been listening to the programme this morning. I think he wants to pass some commentary. Good morning, Stuart.
Morning, Frank. Yeah, heard that Wayne Denner on about that Momo. Yeah, it was just to quickly saying that we've already had a word with our son. You know, he's 8. But he would be on playing like games and stuff, and he would like to watch stuff online about Minecraft and all. And we said it because it's appearing in on kids' videos as well. So we've warned him just, you know, just to be aware, and if it appears up, just to let us know and stuff. You know, I'm quite lucky because I work in the industry, so I quite work in the IT industry. So I'm quite aware of stuff, but it's a good idea for parents to have a word with their kids beforehand, before they see it, you know.
Totally, totally. It's a worrying world for parents. You know, you have the advantage of being tech savvy from what you're saying. For parents who are a bit slower on the old mouse, it must be a concern.
It must be. But I think what they need to do is just speak to them and tell them that if it appears, to let their parents know, you know, and don't be sort of saying that it doesn't exist and sort of just make them aware that it does, it's there, but not to worry about it, because it can be quite frightening, and just tell them, no, it's nothing to worry about. Just speak to your parents whenever you see it.
Totally. It is good advice. I know the reason you phoned was about these keys that people are passing about and sharing.
Yeah, well my mum had to get carers in 4 times a day. And the agency that went in advised us to get a key safe, which is basically something that you can bolt to the wall. And it's got wheeled combination locks, so that you can set a combination into it, and you give that to the company so that they come along and put the combination in and they can get the key out, you know.
And is it not possible? Is it not possible for a burglar to bash his way into the key safe?
I would say it would take them a lot of bashing, and then you'd probably wake somebody up. They're made out of pretty sturdy steel.
Yeah,
so they are, you know, and they are, you know, they're quite well used. You know, lots of places use them. I know people who basically have one and hide it somewhere in the garden. You know, bolted to the shed or back of the shed or something like that. They're out of the road, but it's hard to get into in itself, and it's hidden.
Yeah, it's a very good point, Stuart. The little key safe and bolted somewhere out of sight, or indeed close to the door, doesn't matter, because if the burglar's going to burst his way in, he'll hardly bother bursting the key safe. He'd probably break the windows and come in. That is an idea. How trusting are you with your keys? Apparently, people in Northern Ireland are the least trusting of all when it comes to the key of your own little castle, your own door. Robert, it wouldn't be a Monday if Robert didn't get a speak. What's on your mind, Robert?
Good morning, Frank. Frank, once again, it's nice to be on the biggest show in the country, U105, again. Thank you. Frank, I tell you, there's a major problem happening out there with taxi drivers. Now, truthfully, all taxi drivers at the weekends, all taxis are allowed to lift off the streets. And this only applies to taxi drivers picking off the streets. Now, I've been checking it out with various different drivers from the big companies, etc., and it's happening to the black taxi drivers as well. There is a percentage of people, Ricky, knowingly getting into taxis with alcohol, etc., on them, and with no money for their journeys to go home. And what some of them are doing, they're very clever. Maybe a bank machine's maybe 2 or 3 streets away from where they live. Some of them have done, what's the OU driver, etc., and then they get out to the bank machine, and then they do runners, and stuff like this, Ricky. And truthfully and honestly, Frank, the way I nail this is very simple. Why is taxi drivers, especially working nights, it's not really a problem during the day because people are all on the same level as you. But, you know, when you're dealing with people with drink, etc., they're not firing on all cylinders, as the old famous saying, Frank. So my point here is, you get on a bus, you get on a boat, you get on a plane, you pay before you move. What is the problem? Why is the law not changed for taxi drivers working late nights that they have a right to secure their living, because they're out working on sociable hours while everybody, generally most of the population's confined to home or bed? And what is the problem with taxi drivers asking for the money up front and the meter goes on, and if it's any less, they get their chains when they go home? I don't see any problems with that, Frank. Do you see any problems with yourself?
I think it's a very good question. I think it's very worth asking, and there's no argument. Should that be changed whereby you pay before you avail of the service like you do on other modes of transport? It's a relevant question.